Shame on June.
Well, today is the 9th of January. And we have
to for sure it's working. I didn't park behind you.
Yes, okay.
It's worked the last time, so it's working this time. Well, what revelations do we have that we want to start with? I got all kinds of them, but I just wait for...
Well, you start and we'll just pick on them. How about
that? Yeah, we'll pick them apart. I don't know about a revelation, but I'll share something as a way to start.
Go for it.
I was having a conversation with my mother, who was Catholic, and she says, I have no problem with God being in charge of everything. She says, but I struggle a little bit with God being there before everything else was. Being God was, not God is or God will be, but God was from the beginning. God was. And so when I'm talking to her, I said, well, what do you do with that? She says, well, it doesn't make sense to me, but you just got to take it on faith. And I said, yeah, that's a pretty good way to look at that. If you don't know, you just take it on faith. And I said, just for your benefit, God was.
I understand what she means, though.
Yeah. Well,
that verse in John 4:24, where it says in the King James it says God is a spirit. In all other translations, it says God is spirit. So the in the beginning would confuse some people because God always was. So there was no beginning. As far as God is concerned.
Right. Beginning of creation, but not...
Yeah. my thing has been an ongoing problem thing for quite a while. But I started to look at something from the scriptures, and I think that the human, or the spirit of man, however we want to say it, is a lot more vital and valuable than we have ever realized. And I think a lot of the translators have used a capital S on spirit, but it's actually the spirit of man. For instance, in John chapter 3, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, what's the way it's worded? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What happened to you before you got filled with the Holy Spirit, Ken? Was there an awakening in you before you ever got filled with the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's awakening in lots of people. We have an awakening in before people receive the Holy Spirit by that are mentioned. Was it in Acts chapter 19? We talked about this one day. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That's what I'm looking for. I just didn't see it. But have you believed? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? How do you believe without receiving the Holy Spirit? If you received the Holy Spirit since you believed, they said unto him, we have so much as we have not so much as heard, whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, what were you then baptized into? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance. What I'm saying is, something had taken place in them before they received the Holy Spirit. So we got here. Here's Jesus talking to Nicodemus, And of course, these are capital letters by whoever translated this. He's saying, under the, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm not so sure that we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I think we're talking about the human, or the Spirit of man. Except a man be born of the Spirit, by the Spirit. It takes a spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes upon the flesh. What does he gain? I think he's talking about a born-again experience of the Spirit, causing the Spirit to come alive.
Okay, so what is it said again? Will you read it again?
That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Okay.
That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit.
Yeah, but...
But, okay, that's what I'm looking for.
It says you're going to be born from above.
Aren't you born from above when you receive Christ?
Yeah, but that's... And you get a spirit. You get part of the Spirit of God.
Do you, or do you actually get your own spirit revived?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, but just... I got a lot of reasons for saying all this. I think that we have not realized or recognized what our makeup, what we are made out of. So people get filled with the Holy Spirit, which does what? It helps our flesh. Baloney. The flesh is designed to die, and at the end of it. So what does it help? It helps the soul, and it helps the spirit. But what else does it do? Are you following what I'm saying or not? So you're born of the flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So do you go through a spiritual rebirth where your spirit is actually is joined together with the Holy Spirit, or what happens? Now, I've had a lot of time thinking about it. I got a lot of verses to think of that I wondered about here.
What now is that somebody? Is this the setting when somebody asks Jesus, "How can we be born again?"
It's Nicodemus.
Okay, so what does it say?
He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists. Thou hearest the sound thereof. But, you know, there are people in fundamental churches that have never received the Holy Spirit, that are on fire for God.
Give it a key.
The wind blows where it lists, or where it wants to. Thou cannot hear the sound, thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes or whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
But where's Nicodemus here?
Well, just stopped.
Oh, are you getting to it?
Right about now.
Okay.
Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, are you a master of Israel and know not these things? Verily I say unto you, we speak that which we know and testify what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?
Okay, there's got to be another setting when this happens. When Nicodemus says, should we go back into our mother's womb?
Oh, that's before that. That's right away.
Yeah. Verse 9 was, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be?
Okay.
Verse 4 says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb? Mm-hmm. So, you're remembering the first reference to Nicodemus.
Check.
But what I think is interesting about
that Bible up by the lamp? Give that to Pablo. It's a little easier to follow along.
Yes.
So I'm listening to what you're bringing here.
I'm not expecting an agreement or anything. I have been wondering about this for a long time, but recently it has become more and more of a puzzle. It's like I hate to call it the human spirit. I'm so used to it that that's what I call it.
Just do it, Keith. Do it.
But anyway, the spirit that God had put in us to start with, which is, I think, is from the time of conception. That spirit is able to either go godly or demonically. It can lead us in the wrong path because it's a spirit. Okay?
It can be influenced.
It can be influenced by either one. But if we were born of the spirit, of that spirit, you know, if God does something to us so our soul works with the spirit and we start seeing spiritual things, are we not being born of the Spirit in the beginning before we ever receive the Holy Spirit? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So was I saved at the Campus Crusade for Christ under Bill Bright before I got filled with the Holy Spirit?
Sure.
Something. What happened? What happened to me? Something happened, and what it does, it sets the flesh aside. What is it? We're body, soul, and spirit. If that's the case, the flesh gets set aside in view of what?
And what?
In view. In view of what? What replaces the flesh?
So
the soul is left all by itself?
So in John 3, where it's saying, where Jesus says, verily I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That Spirit that must be reborn is referring to the Holy Spirit.
Well, there's a capital S, but I'm wondering if that's what it actually means.
Well, right, I understand that's exactly what I'm saying. So
that's what the
then it goes on said, that but, you know, which is born of the flesh, flesh, which is born of the Spirit, Spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Applying
to what?
Well, ye must be born again, saying a second birth. Okay, the first birth was flesh, the second birth was the Holy Spirit. At least that's the way I've been interpreting. Well, no, that's the question you're asking. I'm going, well.
That's the question I have been asking myself.
What is the question?
Keith is saying, we have a spirit, you know, from the time we have life. Okay. And that a lot of the interpretations where it says born of the Spirit or reborn, they capitalize the S, implying that they're talking only about the Holy Spirit. And Keith is saying, is that really what it's saying? Is it talking about the Spirit that you got from the time you had life versus being born again with the Holy Spirit?
Well,
that's what I think is being thrown
out. So here's the question. Can you be affected by the Holy Spirit without being filled with the Spirit?
Has anybody?
Yes. Many times in the Old Testament.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So
it's the Holy Spirit still. Affect whether... Now, here's... I see where you're going, where it affects our spirit. Okay? And it changes us. I'm just wondering where you're kind of going with that, because
Then are you saying that our spirit will start making the decisions?
No, no. No, our spirit will work with the Holy Spirit to overshadow or overpower the flesh. That's what happens to us. But my thing is that the flesh is not filled with the Holy Spirit. The flesh dies. The flesh is a house.
Right.
So the soul and something else, or the soul alone. But the soul without the spirit, the body without the spirit, is dead.
Yeah.
And so, if that's the case, are we beginning to understand? See, he says, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You mean the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of the Holy Spirit is subject to the prophet?
Oh, no, that's a separate, another spirit.
Huh?
Not the Holy Spirit, wouldn't think.
No.
Okay, so if that's the case, fine. The spirits are, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the spirit of the other prophets, right?
Well, it doesn't say that.
Or what is? How does it read?
The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets.
Okay. And in that context, that's only going to work if what? They are led by the Spirit in what they're bringing. And if they're not, then there's discernment that says this is not of the Spirit. Right?
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know that I'm right.
I can see, and it's, it makes sense, but it's like...
But it's no wonder nobody understands it.
Well, yeah.
There's
a concern in me that... So... Does that mean that my spirit should start leading me?
Well, I think that's the question. Even in that setting that you just mentioned, Keith, the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question I have is, does my spirit lead the Holy Spirit, or does the Holy Spirit lead me, or lead my spirit? And that, I think, is a question you have to ask.
I'm saying that the Holy Spirit leads us through our spirit.
Oh, that's okay. But that's just saying the Holy Spirit works on our spirit because the Holy Spirit is spirit.
It's spirit.
It doesn't work
it's
on
spirit,
the flesh.
That's spirit.
Yeah.
It doesn't work on the flesh.
That's a little bit...
So when the Bible says...
Less comfort. That's a little bit easier
spirit,
to buy into.
When the Bible says walk in the Spirit, I've always thought walk in the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily so. Walk in the Spirit, who is in conjunction or works with the Holy Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm saying it can be walk in the spirit of man, you know, walk in the spirit God has given us, because we've found hundreds of scriptures that tell us that.
Yeah, but you just said earlier that your spirit can go either way.
It can.
So if you're going to walk in your spirit, there has to be something else, because otherwise, shoot, I can go either way. If I'm not affected by God's spirit. See what I'm saying, kind of?
Yeah.
I'll do my own thing in my spirit and soul and body or whatever.
And well, that's what we've been doing.
And I think that happens until the Holy Spirit leads us, leads our spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm...
So when... So when we get filled...
I'm not used to the word spirit, but that feels right in my spirit. What you're sharing there is that what makes us... The spirit that's within us, the God that dwells within us, which has been led or affected by God or prayer or all the things that make us the person that we are, the decisions that we are, we're constantly looking for the Holy Spirit to guide and lead that spirit.
And
trying to make right choices, trying to get our will to align with His will.
And so when we're born of the Spirit, whether we're born of the Holy Spirit or whether we're born of our spirit, it's almost like they're intertwined. To as many as are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, they're the sons of God. But what does the Holy Spirit lead? He can't lead the flesh, because the flesh will walk in all the way along, you know what I mean? Something has to do the helping. And I'm saying it has to be our spirit.
Okay, so how come when certain fundamentals are born again and they never go any further?
Because their spirit is affected that far, but they don't believe, they won't accept the doctrines or anything of the truth area that will lead them into the Holy Spirit. We have so much, we not have not as so much as even heard whether there be a Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so then they're going to fall short, possibly.
Well, why did the Holy Spirit fall upon the people in the world until Azusa Street in Topeka, Kansas, and Wales, Scotland, a few of those things? Why did it take centuries? What happened to the people in between? Were any of them saved?
There might have been some that weren't allowed. They just hid. God kept them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, but yeah, it was the Dark Ages, obviously, because it was false doctrine all over the place. You know, the doctrines of men took over the church.
But there's a gray area here that really, it's like, I'm not saying I understand it. I'm saying that somehow our spirit is in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we don't make it.
I mean, I could like participate a little bit more, but I don't really, you know.
You know what? I don't either.
Right.
But the thing is, there's some major questions.
Right. But you know, okay. So we got questions, but you know, before we let's talk about what we do know about this. What do we do know? And after we talk about what we do know to be truth.
What do we know?
Well, we do know that it's the Holy Spirit. We do know that everything comes and proceeds from God. There's different spirits, with the spirit of this, the spirit of that, the spirit of that. We do know that we have a spirit. We do know, for example, we do know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So it's like this, even though your flesh almost can keep your spirit, and somehow your flesh can keep the spirit. However, not because your flesh will, but still, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
What spirit?
The spirit of the man.
Okay.
So
that's the point.
Right. So but if you walk after the spirit, the flesh can be as weak as he wants to. It wants to. Because it's irrelevant. I think I know that.
Yeah.
You know. Now, so that's why when we bring the subject of sin, you know, if you are born of God, I can't even remember the scriptures we were reading, but when you are born of God, when you are a spiritual man, no matter what your flesh does, that's why you have to walk in the Spirit. Now, how do you walk in the Spirit? And that's an unanswered question right now for me. How do you walk in the Spirit? What is it to walk in the Spirit? I would imagine that Jesus walked in the Spirit, but exactly what does that mean? We do know certain things, but yeah, there's a lot of questions.
Well, then I'm sitting here going, how much do we have to know? As long as the Spirit leads us.
And to put another point on it, so I agree with what you were just saying, Pablo. So, Can the flesh overpower the Holy Spirit?
No, I don't think so. Oh, then I don't know the Holy Spirit.
I mean, a person could still choose to sin, even when they know, even when God's talking to them, and you still make a bad choice. And so I think, you know, what's interesting about this is, I think it's Keith's point that the Holy Spirit is working on the spirit man inside of all of us, right? But we still have the, we can still choose to, you know, I really should be compassionate towards this person. And, you know, I had a dream that said I should be compassionate to this person. But you know, by golly, I'm still angry with this person and I'm not going to be. And so, because I think what's being, if you think about it, okay, the spirit man is the person that is open to what God is doing through the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit can talk to you.
That's why it says walk in the Spirit, which I have always thought walk in the Holy Spirit. But I'm beginning to think it means to walk in the Spirit, which disagrees with the things of the flesh. My spirit is not in agreement with the flesh.
No.
Yeah, well, I think
we call it conscience.
Well, that's the thing. We have a couple of different words.
How did your spirit get to that place? You didn't get there by you making it happen.
No, and I'm not even saying that. But whatever it was, over all the years and all the time, it wasn't until I got filled with the Holy Spirit that I saw the power of God. But up until that time...
Yeah, and that's, you know what, I don't have any...
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
true.
A different thing.
So what got filled? That is my question.
What got filled what?
With the Holy Spirit.
If you get filled with the Holy Spirit, where did that...
Is that why we see all these scriptures that talk about the human or the flesh of the spirit of man? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of... It's like, why? Why do we see all these verses?
Well, because you have a spirit.
But are we supposed to see them? Are we supposed to understand anything more? Or do we just take that by faith and say, this is it?
Well, what do you... I don't understand what you're trying to make your spirit man be. Something other than what the Holy Spirit makes it be?
No, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
And
walk in the Spirit.
But my spirit has to have been affected and being affected by the Holy Spirit to do that.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, to Ken's point, I understand what you're saying, but I think you're putting too fine a point on it, because if when we say... So when we say the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus, I think to go down your path, what you're saying is Jesus, the man Jesus, Jesus' spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but Jesus' spirit was the fullness of God, because he sent the Holy Spirit and gave him the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Which is different than us poor guys trying to get there, where we have a spirit, and we have different levels of the Holy Spirit has come to us, so we've been open or our hearts are right. I think that's all fine. And to say, when we're walking, trying to, what you're talking about is another way I heard that in Christian vernaculars, walk uprightly, walk righteously. You know, not self-righteous, but all right. And how do we do that? And I think what we're coming back is we're doing that because the Holy Spirit is leading our spirit to make these decisions and to fill us with more of God's...
So...
More of God.
Okay, so when the Bible says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, we're almost two opposites, the flesh and something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so... If we walk in the... See, our spirit wants God.
Mm-hmm.
It is from God. It wants God. So if we walk in the realm of our spirit, with the Holy Spirit working with us, then we can say no to thought pattern. We can do all kinds of things that we couldn't do before, you know.
Our spirit man is strong and able to make...
But you know. We have to recognize somewhere that it's not our flesh in agreement with God. The flesh will never agree with God.
Right, yeah.
What then? So what does that?
Well, so it's your spirit and your soul. Then, so...
Okay. So I'm saying that a lot of these scriptures, I think, are misunderstood, and where people are capitalizing a scripture, it's actually talking about the human spirit. It's not talking about the Spirit of God. Which
right.
makes a lot of difference to me.
Right. Well, we have a spirit, and when we were born babies, we were given a spirit.
Maybe at conception.
At some point, we were given a spirit. That came from God.
Yeah.
Because it is no other way.
Right.
That came from God. Now. Now, because God is spirit, if we didn't have a spirit, we wouldn't have a link to God. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is God would keep us. Yeah.
So God is giving us this way of influencing us. However, when we get full of the Spirit, so we have the Spirit of God, but it's somehow our spirit is also there. You know what I mean?
I guess.
I'm not saying, okay, basically what I'm trying to say, but it doesn't sound right, is we have two spirits. We have our spirit and the Spirit of God. And the Bible says, you know, the idea is that we all come to one spirit. But there is more than one spirit. I mean, we want to be one spirit. Well, we, you know, so that being one spirit, it can't really mean single, really. One must I think it means more united than single. You know?
I have a question then. Pulling that up when you're talking. So, when God gives us a spirit, was that the Holy Spirit that gave us a spirit? Or was that God? Are you going to differentiate between God and the Holy Spirit there when you get the spirit there?
Well, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of, is the spirit of God.
Right.
Okay.
So when God sends the Comforter, and
Jesus sends the Comforter. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Well, yeah, he does it one. But
I would say that Jesus said that he would send the Comforter.
Yes, he said, and I will send you a helper.
Yeah.
Well. I always interpreted that as he was speaking for God.
Let's read it, because it's important.
Yeah, no. I'm not.
No, where is it?
It's in report about 15.
In who?
John 15. 16.
Well, that might help to answer my confusion. Because I'm trying to... I mean, the real question is we're trying to tease the difference between my spirit and the Holy Spirit.
Well, I'll tell you
let's do
both.
This.
Huh? It says both.
Okay.
Because I just read in John 14:25.
Okay.
These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send
in my name.
Well, yeah. The Father's sending it, though.
Right.
He will teach you all things. And then, but Jesus says over here,
the Father will send in my name means that Jesus is sending him.
Well, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper.
Yeah. Anyway.
That he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth.
What do you do with that scripture that you quoted?
What one?
It's in 1 or 2 Peter. It says the prophets questioned and wondered what they were hearing through the Spirit of Christ that was in them. Why didn't it say the Spirit of God?
Well, that's a good question.
Huh?
That's a really good question. We talked about it before a little bit.
Where's verse again that you see referring to?
It's in Peter.
In Peter or First Peter?
I'm not sure.
Peter and Second Peter.
I can't remember exactly where it said, but.
And the whole where God stops and Jesus starts is always a little tricky.
How did you become born again? Isn't it God chose us? Right?
Yeah.
Did you find it, Pablo?
Well, what?
You were just reading it.
Yes. I found what Kent said, but I can't find what I said.
Somewhere before that, maybe, or maybe it's after. I think he says one place, I will send you that. But, you know, it's...
Well, in 15:26, it says, I will send unto you from the Father, not I will send you.
Right, so who's the sender?
Well, from the Father?
Yes, the sender, Jesus is sending it from the Father, so... If I give you grapes from the vine, I'm the one that's giving you the grapes, not the vine.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
but then if you go, I only do the works that my Father gives me to do.
Then it's the Father.
And
yes.
So everything that he did was
everything
the Father.
Everything is the Father. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, that's why I always just took. I will send the Comforter. The Comforter, he will. I always just looked at that as that was coming from God. Jesus is away, clearly, and everything that Jesus did was because that was the Father wanted him to do. But
yep.
But maybe back to the point I was making before we had that point that we were questioning. I'm trying to understand from Keith maybe the concern of the difference between the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, and I'm walking along here thinking that my spirit, or God that dwells in me, is driven, such maybe a bad choice of words there, but is the fulfillment of what the Holy Spirit is doing to me, and that I'm accepting, because I could certainly reject. I can still quiet voice, I can go, don't want to hear it, gonna do this instead. So and I think what Keith has brought out is the spirit that's within me, or the fullness of God that I have. And I'm just suggesting that's the starting point, and the Holy Spirit, as we go through our walk, is constantly adding to that. We're constantly trying to grow into the fullness of God, in our spirit. And the Holy Spirit is kind of like, you have so much, and then the Holy Spirit gives you a little more, and you grow that way. So the question that I'm wondering, I'm trying to make sure I understand what Keith is getting at, is what's the difference between the Spirit that was put in me in the beginning versus the Holy Spirit that's feeding that Spirit all along? And and I'm asking the question.
And I don't doubt that maybe that capital thing could be off, because I know there's places in my Bible where they put that Jesus spoke something, and it's not. I don't see it.
Well, they try to make Jesus a deity instead of God.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I certainly get that. But I think Keith is trying to bring out a bigger point there of, well, are we referring to the Holy Spirit, or are we just referring to the Spirit that dwells within us, that we carry with us?
The Spirit that is in us is the object. What I'm saying is the object of the Holy Spirit baptism. That's the object. Because it's spirit to spirit, which will then affect our soul. Our spirit affects our soul. So does the flesh. Walk in the flesh, and that's what we got. But you walk in the spirit, and we say, well, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm saying, not necessarily. I'm saying we're talking about the spirit that God has put in us, which is like a conscience thing. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so walk in the spirit. So
which requires, it means it has to be in our human spirit too.
If you want, well, as long as it's lined up with the Holy Spirit.
And that's what it is. It has to. That,
otherwise, you can't walk in any spirit directly. You
can't walk in any godly spirit.
The flesh will not line up with God's spirit.
No.
Yeah.
You what?
The flesh.
The flesh cannot line up with God's spirit. This flesh will just
And some, I mean, at certain times, and depending on whatever, your spirit doesn't always line up with God either.
That's our problem,
you know.
It's kind of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, both of them don't always line up.
But let's go back. So, what do you? Following that thought, you made the comment then, if I heard you right. So, being born again. So, what changes between having a spirit, God's spirit, at creation or conception or whichever, and being born again? What is your revelation saying that you think? What changes in that spirit?
I was quickened by the Word of God before I got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
Something happened.
Yeah, it when you were born again.
It wasn't my flesh.
No.
Okay, what was it then?
So your spirit got quickened. No.
Okay, so the spirit got quickened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was immersed in the Spirit by the Spirit. And that's what I'm saying. It's a spirit union. If we walk in that spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Are you saying before you were born again that...
No.
Hear the whole comment there.
Yeah.
So you're saying you were quickened, but...
By the Word.
Quickened by the Word.
Yeah.
Not quickened by the Spirit.
But what is the Word? And which is the Spirit?
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When you're saying you're quickened, you mean when you were born again, right?
Well, I didn't hear... That's not what I thought I understood what you say.
Bill Bright...
Yeah,
crusade. I learned to give my heart to the Lord.
Yeah, and then you started wanting the scriptures.
Okay, so what happened to me?
Yeah, what happened to any of us?
Our spirits were alive, or were quickened.
Okay, I'm with that.
Okay, now there's a scripture in here. Check, give me my jungle over here, would you?
Let me read this is a scripture that I wasn't looking for it, but this is another scripture. It says, Galatians 5:16-17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please.
What are we talking about?
That fits.
We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the human spirit.
The human spirit.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, the human spirit.
Yeah.
But your human spirit can't do that unless you've had it quickened by the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Yes.
But I'm just saying that we have given too little attention to our human spirit. No, Chuck, the other one. I have another scripture, and then you guys untangle this one for me.
Well, again, what's the difference in this example?
You're doing really good, except that none of them are the right one. You see a white one over there that says Young's on it? Or maybe it's up. No. It's up, it's up behind No Wonder.
Yeah. Not your fault.
It is his fault.
Yeah. Poor Chuck.
Poor Chuck.
Yeah, no wonder, Chuck. So what's the difference? But Ethan, you're just in this example. What's the difference between being quickened in the spirit and being born again? That's the part I don't.
You know what? I don't know that we have an answer.
Oh well, okay.
Well, I can't see where there's a difference.
Well, to me.
Why can't I see that? That's so easy. The first trip I turn to when I'm looking for.
Well, again, to be born again, it means to be born again of the spirit, not of the flesh. So obviously, when you're born again, you don't have a new flesh and bones.
No, your spirit.
So if you are born again, it's just the second time.
Second time for your spirit.
Second time for your spirit.
Okay.
So the same spirit. It gets better.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
And I think that kind of lines up with what I'm.
Yeah. Read the first chapter of the First Peter.
First chapter of the First.
I'm looking for it. I can't find it.
What is it?
Okay.
Oh, I was ahead. Second. Jeez.
Searching what or what manner of time? This is verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them. What's that mean?
Well, what does it mean?
What does it, why did they say the Spirit of God that was in Christ? The Spirit of Christ that was in them did signify when it testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
First Peter 1:11. In verse 11.
Searching?
Probably you should have been here.
There's so many verses in the scripture in there.
They kept saying Acts 2:2:2. It took me four times.
They said what?
They said, it's Acts 2:2:2. And I said, first it was like Acts 2:22, Acts 22:2.
Yeah.
I went, it's like four different ways I did 2:2:2. Finally I got to where they were.
See, you remember it now.
Well, yeah, I'll probably remember that one for a while.
Acts 2:22.
Oh.
But anyway, what do you mean the Spirit of Christ? Why did it say the Spirit of God was in him?
That is worth going to other Bibles.
it won't change.
What does it say in other translations?
I'll guarantee you. No way.
I guarantee you. All
right,
well.
But remember, we got the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of Jacob.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And so, it's still God doing it.
Oh, yeah.
It's still the same thing.
It is. Yeah.
It's just, why do they say the Spirit of Christ?
Do they use this terminology in a bad way? Who is a bad person in the Bible? Okay, besides Judas or whatever. Is it in the Old Testament?
Saul.
Okay, spirit of Saul.
So,
is that anywhere? They came in the spirit of Saul. They had the spirit of Saul.
Spirit of David. I think it mentions the spirit of David.
I don't know.
But that's a good spirit.
Yeah.
But no, but I'm saying, is it used in a bad way? As in, like, a bad person's spirit? You know, spirit of Judah, Iscariot. I don't know.
I will say that in a sense. In my Bible, they capitalize spirit when it says spirit of Christ.
Yeah, it does here too.
Yeah, well, which, I mean, of Christ, that's the man, that's the anointed.
Yeah, he's the man.
The spirit of Christ.
Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't have to be capitalized.
It wouldn't have to, no.
I don't think. No. If that's, if we're talking.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, yeah, see, you know.
And I.
There's a spirit of kindness,
mm-hmm.
You know. So the spirit of Christ could be
everything that Christ was.
Yeah, that he was going to be, because mm-hmm. It says it, and then speaks of the sufferings. Uh, who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow.
Yeah.
Which there are things in the Old Testament that are say that, you know, prophesy that.
And, but somehow, and but now listen to the rest of it. The Spirit of Christ that was in them. What's that mean? It came into them somehow?
Well, I don't think it was necessarily of the actual man Christ.
No, I know, but...
You know.
But the Spirit, like Paul says, several times Paul says, my Spirit will go with you.
Right. So,
we got a lot to learn.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I am puzzled over this whole thing because, you know why? No matter what it sounds like, the Scriptures won't leave me alone.
Well, you know what I'm doing with it? I'm not thinking on it very hard. I'm just going to let it come.
There are two other
references. When it comes to me.
Two other references to the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9.
What does it say?
And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ. Okay, same thing then. Philippians 1:19. For I have known that this shall fall out to me for salvation through your supplication and the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And a couple places where Spirit in Christ.
So the whole picture is bigger than what we know.
Mm-hmm.
It's possibly bigger than what we'll ever find out.
Yeah, well, that's
at the same time.
Nothing new.
At the same time, there are so many references to how the Spirit of man works that I'm thinking God's going to reveal something that's been hidden to the church for ages.
You know what? This is another demonstration that God makes his word so much yummy, delicious. You know what I mean? Just
yeah.
You wanna keep in it, stay in it, because you realize there's just so much flavor or so much in it. You know what I mean?
Tell me if I'm wrong about this. My spirit won't ever find the answer to this till God reveals it.
Till the Holy Spirit tells.
That's right. Is that true or not?
It's true, but I tell you what. By us opening the how do they say that? Opening the door and let it go, the Spirit will have an opportunity to share it with us, to reveal it to us.
Yeah.
If we don't ever ask,
right,
we'll never know.
But I guess, you know, what I'm saying,
the Lord will say, I don't want you to know.
Kind of the point that I think we need to realize, you wouldn't even be having these thoughts if he hadn't already brought you from something way back here that you didn't have and slowly built and built and built and built. So I just don't want us to think that we think we can bring something about on our own, in our own spirit. I mean, I'm not at that place anyway. You know, because... if all the decisions my spirit make are because I've been affected by the Holy Spirit.
Well, there are so many scripture verses. You know what got me, really got me going? Well, I started looking up the word spirit.
Yeah, concordance.
And I saw the different applications and different operations of the man's spirit. And I thought, do I really have that? Is that me? Or should I do what the forefathers have done? Should I ignore them?
Well, I don't know.
I don't think you can ignore them anymore. Because God has allowed you enough that now you need to dwell on it.
It's not that I have an answer. I have a question that may be bigger than I'll ever get an answer to. I don't know.
But to Ken's point, you hadn't grown up enough to know to have this question. And that's, to your point, it's an unfolding and it's yummy. I mean,
yeah.
I I did just a quick search on Spirit of Man, and 1 Corinthians 2:11 pops up, and it says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God."
Yeah.
Which kind of...
What be directed?
Well, then we go to the 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God."
You hear that?
Yeah, you got to have the Spirit of God to know anything.
So that we know, we will know the things, okay?
This also spoke about the spirit of the world.
Right. Yeah. And but what grabbed me was the second part of 11 where it says, "Even so the things of God knoweth no man." Things of God knoweth no man. But the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows. And that to me was
and
like,
what's he gonna do?
What's he gonna do?
Yeah. Some more.
Well, he says, "Now that we have received not the spirit of the world, but Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God."
That we might freely know.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
So does God maybe want us to know? I'm thinking that God wants us to have an understanding of this. Is my understanding accurate?
Well, actually, one more verse that kind of even gets more exciting. 13, "Which things also we speak."
That's what I'm looking for.
"Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual."
Yeah.
So
we're going to, the door is open to understand whatever God wants us to understand.
Yeah.
We have to be careful is not to go beyond what he teaches.
Well, right. And I think, and as Ken was saying, as long as he's teaching, as long as we're not trying to cipher. I mean, I don't have an answer to your question. I don't know. Do I think it's possible that there's some big spirits implying Holy Spirit when it should be little spirits implying man spirit? I'm sure there could be a translation that's a little weak.
I'm almost positive in some places here that they put a big S when they think it's the Holy Spirit. I don't think it is. When it says to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
And especially if you're in a Bible that's Trinitarian bent, and Jesus is in that setting, and then they're trying to make Jesus and Spirit as God's Spirit, and they're trying to push you that way. So, anything else you want to talk about that?
I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's a fair question.
Well, I don't even know if I have, if I'm anywhere near right. I don't know. But there's something here that bothers me, and I'm not sure if it's a spirit, if God is causing it to bother me, or if I'm just bothered by the devil.
Well, God will straighten that out.
Yeah.
God will straighten that out, especially that
faith that He'll bring us to the right place,
and patience too.
Right.
It just might not happen right away.
But I, when people say, you know, they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, what gets baptized? The flesh don't get baptized. Even though we get baptized, we baptize the flesh in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The flesh gets wet, but it's, you know.
Yeah, I think that's probably poorly worded. Because we just try to make it make sense to the natural mind. You know, you don't immerse the spirit, you immerse the flesh, right? So we just kind of say the spirit older, and we call that the flesh, but, you know, your point is, well.
Oh, yeah, it says you that you would have a spiritual mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your spirit.
It has to be, Ken.
Yeah.
It has to be.
But I don't see where the... And then, where do you want to go with it from there? I mean, the only way it keeps becoming a bit more of a spiritual mind is I get more of the Spirit from God.
From God.
Well, I think that those guys understood something that is totally foreign to us.
What guys?
Paul and Peter and James and John.
Apostles.
They understood.
The guys that had 24/7 access to the fullness of God walking amongst them. I'm going to give a nod that they might have had a little bit more understanding than I do.
So when I see verses where they're talking about walking, you know, walking in the Spirit, I know that you have to walk with the Holy Spirit. But I'm saying walk in that part of you which is Spirit and not that part of you which is flesh. Which is where the Spirit of the, you know, the Spirit that is in us operates. Which is what? I'm not even sure.
Well, you know, what they got because God gave it to them at that time for that reason, for that ministry. When He wants us to do what He wants, He's going to give us what we need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's how do you walk in His will? Well, Paul got a little bit of a special ticket because it said, I will show you my will.
Okay. Right. No, how did I read? Here's the 40-day advanced course.
22:4, yeah. <it's>
that we all didn't quite get.
I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name.
Now, even though the flesh is against the Spirit, or different than the Spirit, and like separated, somehow you have your flesh is a bit of the product of the Spirit, even though when you sin, it doesn't matter because you're not after the whatever, but let me just read. I don't know if this is going to help anything, but okay. So you know, Galatians 5:10. So for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against this, such no law. So, the fruit of the Spirit is all these good things. So to walk after the Spirit, or in the Spirit, or whatever, is like. But the fruits of the Spirit is love. So you know, love. Try to love, or ask that you could love. Joy, peace, have peace. You know, you want to walk after the Spirit, you gotta be peaceful, ask for peace, want peace. You know, long suffering, kindness, be kind, be good, be faithful, be gentle, be self control. So, to walk in the Spirit is to desire these things, and to walk in the flesh is to desire all these other things. No, you know, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. So to walk in the Spirit is not this unknown thing of how is it that you do it, like how? Basically, it's like to walk in the Spirit is like feed the Spirit. You know what I mean? Just what is the word? Or aim towards it. Like try to be gentle, self-control, against the such no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Anyways, I think to walk in the Spirit, well, I shouldn't say I think, but one of the ways of walking in the Spirit is trying to trying to do with these things. Try, you
people
know.
In the world.
Huh?
People in the world try to do those things too, though.
Yes. No, yeah, not so much. No, I don't think so.
A lot of them do.
Yeah, some of them. Some of them. But, you know, they do, but, you know, but they sound the trumpet when they give. And they let the left hand know when the right hand is doing. Not this one.
Yeah.
You know, but see, the people of the world
do it all. Well.
Do all these other things.
I do
too.
Some of that other.
We all do. We all do. But that's not what we're after.
No, no.
You know what I mean? That's not what we want. See, the world wants this thing.
Oh, you're fine. We're done.
I think he's coming out.
Huh?
He's coming out, I think.
It might be an hour.
I thought I heard the doorknob.
That would mean, oh, yeah, okay. Come out.
See, in here it goes, the works of the flesh are blah, 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 blah. But the fruit of the Spirit, so he goes from works of the flesh to the fruits of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit is not a work, it's a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
See, to work and to work, if you're led of the Spirit, so now, the works of the flesh, so the flesh is the works. You don't work after the Spirit. Is the fruit of the Spirit. Again, see, the flesh is works, the Spirit is fruits. You know, so, you know, yeah, you can't make it. Yeah, it becomes after you water and put under the sun. But, you know.
No, that's a good problem. It kind of, because it does, I think it helps illustrate the difference between flesh and spirit within us, which is where Keith started out with a little bit tonight.
There's a statement made in the Garden of Eden, or Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus asked his disciples, he says, come and pray with me. And so he comes back and they're sleeping. And he made a statement and he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's Christianity. That's who we are. You know, my spirit is really willing, but my flesh is weak. And but the spirit is like a will after a while. Your whatever spirit part of you grows and develops and becomes something that overpowers the flesh.
Yeah, but the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's nobody knows you really good because.
Yeah.
You know.
Thank you. That's it for tonight.
Thank you.
Well, she hangs up.